Let us pray. Father, as the psalmist prayed, we ask you to send forth your Spirit to renew the face of the earth, O God. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon all flesh, including us here this morning, those with us watching. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, O God, and renew us. Lord, we look to you, the author of life. Come, Holy Spirit, minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. No matter how things look in the world and how overwhelming the situations are around us or in our lives, the Bible encourages the following from Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Jesus called the devil a murderer from the beginning. He's the author of chaos and confusion, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and nothing else. We're seeing his work all around us. There was something demonic about the police officer's murder of George Floyd and the murder of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. And there's something demonic about all the riots that are occurring. The answer is what we are remembering and celebrating this day, the experience of Pentecost. The answer is the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh and the coming of his kingdom in power and might through his presence in the world, in our nation, in our community, in our church, in our families, and in our lives. What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, in us, and all around us? He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of the Father and the Son. He is the Spirit who descended upon Christ at baptism and empowered Jesus in his ministry. He is the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead. He is the Spirit in whom the disciples were baptized in the day of Pentecost and by whom they were clothed with power from on high. He is the Spirit who empowers in us today spiritual gifts for the common good, for the building up of the church, for the body of Christ. He is the Spirit who gives to people wisdom and revelation so that they and us may know Jesus better. He is the Spirit who enlightens the eyes of our hearts to know the hope that we have through Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in the kingdom of heaven. It is the Holy Spirit that fills us and overflows from us and brings the kingdom of God among us, right in our midst. And he is the living water that Jesus promised would fill and flow from every believer. Living water. Before any of this, the Holy Spirit is infinite, with no beginning and no end. He has always been and he will always be. He was at the creation, hovering over the waters, applying the word or the power of God, so that from nothing the universe might be created. He is the power of God that came upon all the people of old in the Old Testament, like those who are listed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, men and women of old who received the power of the Holy Spirit and who did great exploits in the name of God. He came upon them, and so often it was said they became like new people, transformed by the power of God, having the gifts of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the words of Scripture, the words and writings of the law, the Psalms, the prophets. He breathed God's word into the authors. He breathed God's word into the prophets as he carried them along. And he is the Spirit who is bringing it all to pass, who's bringing it all to fulfillment. Every jot and tittle, Jesus says, of the law is going to be fulfilled, and it's being fulfilled by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in creation. In the prophecy of Joel, that Peter preached and confirmed on the day of Pentecost. It's in Acts chapter 2, we read it. God promises to pour out His Holy Spirit upon all flesh, all people. This is the Spirit of God coming upon all people, not only a select few, but coming into the world as a shower upon humanity, upon every person made in the image and likeness of God. The Holy Spirit comes according to God's promises. The effect of the Spirit's presence is that the Word of God is proclaimed. The mysteries of God are revealed. Repentance, turning to God, is charged. And the forgiveness of sins is received. And salvation from God is experienced by the presence of God in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit first comes upon people to inspire them, to give them an awareness and a desire for God's presence and His salvation. God comes to save through graciously encouraging a person to turn to Him and to invite Him into their life, to repent of their own sins, of their own way, and to receive the salvation that comes through being born again by the Holy Spirit through Jesus. This is what Peter encourages people to do at the end of his sermon on the day of Pentecost. At the end of Acts chapter 2, it says this: "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." When they heard Peter preaching about Jesus, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself." That means the promise of salvation in the Holy Spirit is for everyone that we see around us today and the person that we see in the mirror. Until a person receives the Holy Spirit by God's grace through faith, the Holy Spirit will work on them to bring about repentance and salvation. Jesus describes the work of the Holy Spirit in this way, John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." The conviction that the Holy Spirit brings about is the very experience that's described in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, of being cut to the heart, being convicted by our own sinfulness and guilt so that we turn to Jesus, receive forgiveness, and receive the Holy Spirit. Later in Acts chapter 3, Peter is preaching again. And again, he brings the people to a place of decision, how to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he proclaims to them in Acts 3:19, "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Times of refreshing, sins blotted out. That's what we need. That's what the Holy Spirit works to bring about in people. The Holy Spirit convicts, and when we repent and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is the one who refreshes us and brings about new birth in us in and through Jesus. The Apostle Paul describes the experience as new creation. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He is the one by whom we are born again and become new through Jesus. I love the way that this is described in the prophecy of Ezekiel, the Holy Spirit Himself inspiring Ezekiel with these words of what would be fulfilled through the coming of Christ and through the salvation that He would bring. In Ezekiel 36:25, God says this: "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put My Spirit within you." and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules, and you shall be my people and I will be your God. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us. He comes to transform us and to lead us to live according to God's leading and his holiness in the way that leads to life. The Apostle Paul describes this in both Romans and Galatians as being led by the Spirit. Jesus told us that the Spirit would come and lead us. He says in John 14:17, that the Spirit of truth, he dwells with you and he will be in you. And then in John 16:13, that he will guide you into all truth. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what we and everyone needs so badly. I want to highlight three additional things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives when he comes to us. The first is that he manifests himself to us. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes, he makes himself known. And in making himself known, he makes Jesus and the Father known to us. He expresses himself to us in word and in deed so that we might come to know him better. For example, he speaks to us about Jesus. He pours the love of God into our hearts. And he bears his fruit in us, which is an expression of his character. It is a manifestation of his presence in our lives. Love, peace, joy, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, patience, and self-control. All these are an expression of the Holy Spirit in us. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, by whom we come to know Jesus better. Besides manifesting himself in us, the Holy Spirit also sanctifies us, which means he comes and he makes us holy. Or in other words, he makes us to be like Jesus. He conforms us to the image and character of Christ. This is the transforming work of the Holy Spirit that happens deep down in our souls. But it's also displayed in our lives and in our actions. This is, in fact, something that Jesus himself prays for each and every one who would come to know him and follow him. In his high priestly prayer in John 17, and this in verse 17, he prays to the Father, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." Now, we can be sure that God hears and answers the prayer of Jesus, that through the Holy Spirit, each person that comes to Jesus and follows him would begin the process of being sanctified by the Spirit of truth. And Jesus' prayer also gives us a clue that God uses his word in the process of sanctifying us. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit of truth and by the word of truth. This is something that Paul also prays for the church. And he expresses it in his letter to the church in Thessalonica in chapter 5, verses 23 through 24. Listen to what Paul prays for the church. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it." God will surely sanctify you through and through, body, soul, and holy and spirit, so that we are more and more conformed to the image of Christ. The outcome of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is that we are transformed to be witnesses of Christ, in fact, to be the image of Christ in the world. The Holy Spirit, he manifests himself to us and he sanctifies us. And he also does something that Jesus himself emphasized after his resurrection, but prior to his ascension. It's a primary working of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus says at the end of Luke's gospel and then the beginning of Acts about the Holy Spirit. He says this to his disciples, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." in addition to manifesting himself to us and sanctifying us, the Holy Spirit empowers us with the power of God to live as ministers, as witnesses, as ambassadors of Christ in the world. This is the ongoing experience of what John the Baptist said that the Messiah, who is Jesus, would do. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I believe this is an ongoing experience that began on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out, as Luke writes in Acts chapter 2. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit enables us to know the Lord and to be transformed in His image, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can minister in word and deed. I believe that what occurred on the day of Pentecost for the first time, God wants it to occur continually in our lives. We may not see the demonstration, but we are to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, empowering us, coming into us so that we can live a life devoted to Christ. The reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 elaborates on how the Holy Spirit comes to empower the people of God so that we can do ministry, so that we can continue the work of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 7, and then 11, Paul writes, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And then in verse 11, "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills." The power of the Holy Spirit eliminates for us the excuse of "I can't" when it comes to ministry or to the service to which God has called us, and to knowing God and to living a holy life. I can because He empowers me by His presence who lives in me. It doesn't mean I can do what God has called you to do specifically, and it doesn't mean that you can do what God has called me to do in the area of my giftedness. It means that each of us has the power of God to fulfill His calling and His commands for us. And for all of us, that includes bearing witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus. For all of us, that means living a holy life that bears witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus. For all of us, it means living by the Holy Spirit, full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and ministering in the area that God has gifted us to minister in. What Pentecost means is that each one of us, if we are born again by grace and faith in Jesus, we have the Spirit of God with us and in us. And the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, and the empowering through the Holy Spirit are all works that begin immediately in us when we invite Jesus into our life, when we become born again, and they all are ongoing for our lifetime. We never get to the place where we don't need the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself to us. We never get to a place in life where we don't need Him to sanctify us. And we never get to a place in life in this world where we don't need the power of the Holy Spirit filling us and coming upon us from on high. It's an amazing thing to think of, that the Spirit of God, this power of God that has been from infinity to infinity, is in us and with us. What do we do? Now what? Well, I believe that we keep doing what Peter encourages the people to do on that day of Pentecost. We keep asking, we keep receiving the fullness of God's presence and power in the Holy Spirit. And we keep giving Him more and more of ourselves, more room in our lives, in our families, in our church, our work, in our dreams, and in everything we do, just inviting the Holy Spirit to come. We remove the limits and restrictions that we have placed on Him by saying things like, "I can't," or "I don't," or "I won't," or "not me," We get rid of those and we say, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill me. Come upon me. Come and manifest yourself to me. Come sanctify me. Come empower me. We spend more and more time enjoying his presence. I mean, it's the presence of God who is perfect with us. That's something to enjoy. I mean, get a load of that. Hey, what do you want to do this weekend? I'm just going to fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God who lives in me. That's a pretty awesome thing to do. And we can do it anywhere at any time, even if we're locked in our homes. And we act in obedience to him with courageous faith. And we investigate and explore the promises of God for us that are in Scripture. And we take steps of faith, leaps of faith sometimes, to reach out as the Holy Spirit is guiding us to do. And we start living in the character of Jesus as we keep our eyes on him who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And by God's grace, even through us, people will come to know him and be added to the church and become full of the Holy Spirit themselves. In the last few days, even in light of all this, there's been several times where what has come to my mind is, God, I don't even know what to pray for anymore. I don't even know what to do about all that is happening anymore. And it's overwhelming. Maybe you've experienced that too. It's almost like, God, what do we even do? Well, another promise of Scripture that the Holy Spirit does is in times like this where we don't know what to do, we may not even know how to pray. Paul writes in Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit prays for us, and he helps us to pray. He sighs and groans within us. He inspires our prayers to the Father. So let the Holy Spirit's groaning, let his intercession inspire your own prayers and actions during this time. If nothing else, we can pray for ourselves, for our families, for our church, for our community, and for this nation, that the Holy Spirit would come. Because that in itself, that prayer is what brings the answer and the solution to all of the problems that we see exploding around us. The coming of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the kingdom of God. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let us pray. That is our prayer, Father. That you would continue the fulfillment of your promise to pour out your Holy Spirit upon all flesh. From every status, from every demographic, from every background, in every situation, no matter how complacent or how angry, no matter how apathetic or how full of rage and angst, God, we pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon our families, upon this church, upon our community, and upon this nation, Lord God. We ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon all flesh and bring repentance, bring salvation, bring renewal and refreshing, and bring newness of life, O God. Save people through Jesus Christ. By the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we ask in his name, Amen.